Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the World Wide Web. OMG, I am tickled pink, as my auntie from Milledgeville, Georgia would say. Today's show is going to be phenomenal. I have two outstanding ladies that I'm going to present to you, and you know, listeners, I am always looking for great guests to share with you, and today is no different at all. So let me tell you, we're going to be kicking off the top of the hour out. I have the high honor of interviewing live Lady Maisha Cheney. Oh my goodness, she's hanging out in the virtual green room right now, just ready to come up to the mic. And you know her, you hear her, you see her in your living rooms or in your laptops or however you look at TV on Oxygen's Preachers of LA. I'm excited to have her. Certainly, Pastor Wayne, we know him, and we are just going to get to know her a little bit more. She's a wife, she's a mother, she's a songwriter, she's a recording artist, she's a radio personality, she's a published author, and the list goes on. And so you're going to get to hear from her today. And then listen, in our second segment, we're going to be talking to Yetta Young. I'm excited to have Yetta on the show. She's an award-winning producer and director. She's the CEO and executive producer of YYP, oh my goodness, and Associates LLC. It's a production and management and consulting firm. Her work has been seen on Bravo's Real Housewives of Atlanta, Tom Joyner Cruz, and more. So listen, this is what I need you to do. Jump on Twitter, tell them what you're listening to. Jump on Facebook, tell them what you're listening to. Oh, Instagram family, we can't leave you out. Listen, the link is in the bio. That's the easy way to share the show, and we're ready to jump right on in. Again, I'm really excited to have Lady Maisha Cheney joining us, and I'm bringing her up to the mic right now. Lady Maisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my goodness, I am tickled pink.
Hey.
Excited to chat with you. Oh, wow. So let's jump right on in. So certainly, you know, on the show, you have been so gracious to open up your life to us and let us peer in. I wanted to know, how did you meet Pastor Wayne?
We actually met at Antioch Church. I was born into the same church that his grandfather was the senior pastor. And we grew up together, but we didn't really know each other until he went off to college and came back, and I think I was around 18, 17, and we got to know each other personally.
Wow. And so was it love at first sight?
We definitely had some stuff in there. I was talking to the Holy Spirit for a few weeks, like, what is this? Because every time I'm around this guy, it's just this feeling that I had that was overwhelming, and he was feeling the same thing.
Wow, that's awesome. And glad it was two-sided and not one-sided. Sometimes
right.
It's one-sided, so it was two-sided. Okay, and so you certainly are doing so many things as a wife, as a mother, as a first lady, ministry. How are you able to balance all of that? Any tips for our listeners?
Well, I'm learning that you only get so many moments in life, period, and balance has been something I've been trying to achieve over the years. But I try to be spiritually sensitive to whatever area of my life needs me the most. There are times where I really need to be in the house, and I make adjustments to take care of my family, to take care of my household. But then there are times where I'm just really feeling strongly to go out and share and be around women. And in those seasons, I just push that way. And there's other times where I'm just, the wife thing is just heavy on my life and spending time with my husband. And I really, each morning, am praying, God, where do you need me the most? And it's different. Every day is different, and I flow with it, and I'm comfortable with that unknown part of life. And that's how I have balance, and I never forget myself in everything.
Wow. So figuring out where to really put your time and your weight and your energy for that day. And it doesn't have to be all in the same place every single day.
Right. Because we will, for a lot of years, I tried to be perfect at everything. And I was losing sleep because there was just no way to be the perfect mom, perfect wife without losing myself in the essence of who
yeah.
I was. So I had to make a determination, like, something's got to give, and it's not going to be me.
All right.
So I'll have to partition off what I can do for everybody in my life according to the needs of the Holy Spirit in that particular area, and then leave something left over for me to just be my Isha and feel that breeze when I walk outside and that warm sunshine and be in tune with who I am as a person in the core of my being.
Excellent, excellent advice there for all of us, for all of us. So when the opportunity to be on Preachers of LA was first presented to you and Pastor Wayne, what was your first impression?
Well, I was totally okay with it. We had been in that space for a little while. I had been in a couple pitch meetings for a couple reality shows. I was actually on a pilot for Lifetime for Preacher's Wives and didn't have a great experience. So we had already kind of been around there. My husband was pitching shows, and so we were just kind of dangling in that space already. So when the call came, it was like, okay, Lord, is this what you're saying? And we were fine. I think we were really fine with it, honestly.
Okay. Okay. I am sure that there are people who receive those calls or those suggestions and think, oh, okay, let me think, what does this mean to my life? What does this
right.
mean to the church?
It's true. It's true. We had already known for like 10 years that media would be the next mission field. And it was just a matter of when God was going to open those doors up. But we had been like kind of sowing seeds of faith in our spirit, just kind of like, this is the only way to really infiltrate the world system is through television and in media. I mean, it's going to be really difficult the way things have progressed.
Yeah.
To try to get as many people as you can into your church doors.
Wow. And so how has social media also been a vital role in, you know, all of this for you?
It's been great. I mean, I get to meet so many people on social media. It makes the world so much smaller.
Yeah.
And it can be hurtful. I had to learn. I had my fair share of bruises from reading people's comments, and my feelings was hurt. Season one, I was like, oh, my God. And
these people are mean.
Oh, they are so mean. They're so nasty and so rude. But I learned, and I was grateful because that was the one thing that I had still wrestled with was wanting people to like me, and God needed to deal with me in that area. So he put me on a reality TV show, and I had to grow up really fast and say, okay, who I am on this show is who I am on this show. Who Maisha is in Maisha, it's almost two different people. And I have to separate myself because people see you on television, it gives them a reason to talk about you. It gives them a reason to have an opinion about you. It doesn't mean that what they're saying is an adequate reflection of who you are. And I had to learn that the hard way. Like, okay, they're not talking about you, girl. They're talking about her on TV.
Right, and the snippets and the edited and the portions that they
right,
get to see.
Right, and it's just the nature.
Yeah.
If you watch a show, you're talking about people talking about Cookie. Well, if Taraji took that personal, you know, even though it's scripted versus non-scripted, if she took that personal, like, I can't stand Cookie. Well, she wouldn't even be able to walk outside the house thinking about what people are saying. You just make it, this is the role that I play for this season to reach people, and some people won't like that role, and that's okay.
And that's okay. And, you know, I heard Snoop Dogg say in an interview once someone asked him, was he on Twitter or was he on Facebook? And he said, oh, no, I don't do social media. He said, to me, social media is like allowing a stranger to jump in your car, punch you in the face, and then jump out the car. And so I thought that was an interesting analogy.
It has its benefits. It's painful when you just don't know how to handle it. But I have been able to connect with so many great people. I mean, and I feel so comfortable with them just from social media alone.
Absolutely, and I am a strong proponent of social media. And so Twitter, Facebook, Instagram fans, we love you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We certainly know the good outweighs any bad that is there. So, and it's definitely clear that you embrace social media. So keep connecting, keep connecting. Actually, while we're talking about social media, how can they connect with you on all of your sites?
all of them, Maisha Cheney, at Maisha Cheney. You spell it like it sounds. But I've been also able to do a lot of ministry, a lot of people inboxing. I'm going through. I'm on my last leg. I'm ready to give up. I'm cutting myself. And I've been able to really help people from that perspective of ministry because of social media. And for that, I'm grateful.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so how has life changed since being on Preachers of LA? What's changed?
It has been a journey. It has been, oh, my God, I will be able to say some of the best years of my life happened around this time of Preachers of LA. And I cannot trace the true source. But it just made me evolve into the person that I always knew I would become. It's just crazy. It's so crazy. It's like, oh, my God. And we in L.A. County, we were on radio, and we do ministry in L.A. We have been for like 13, 14 years since I've been involved with him in full-time ministry, per se. So we were accustomed to people knowing from, they know you from church and stuff like that.
Right.
But Preachers of LA has definitely opened up that exposure so that people know you and they know you pretty much for who you are. I think the show, especially second season, was a great representation. It was snippets, but it was the truth. We weren't like putting on anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it has allowed me to connect with women from all walks of life, from all across this country, hands down. And I've been able to do some real ministry and connect with some real people, made some real friends. And it has really changed my life.
Wonderful. And you've been, certainly with your public speaking and all of that, you've been flying all around the country doing that. You just got back from the Stella Awards. You're on your way to Delaware. So imagine your travel schedule has blown up.
Yes. Yes, it has. It was just like a God thing. I just can't explain it to you. It was a matter of choices and decisions. People say that whenever God has a Goliath in mind, he'll always put a lion and a bear in your path. And there were some private decisions made, I think, some realigning and just things that God did spiritually when no one was watching, so that when people were watching, there was something done. You know what I mean? It's hard to describe that, but it was personal choices and being true to yourself and going out there no matter who talked about you and just overcoming in every way that God brought a certain level of access to the place that I've always known that I would be.
Wow. Stephen Covey, who most know as a motivational speaker, says private victories always are previous or before public victories. So it's like those things. Yeah.
I cannot. And people see, oh, my God, you took down Goliath. Wow, you're doing this. And I'm thinking about all those nights, staying up, praying, fasting, believing God, trusting him, dealing with those things in us, you know, the fleshly things that like to come up, especially when you're talking about national TV. You can always, oh, look at me, I want to be seen, let me start up the drama, let me, oh, honey, I need that, you know. It can consume you if you are not careful. And we made a decision, we are going to be ourselves. If no one likes us, if no one cares, if no one calls us, we will be fully committed to God in every way. And we will not compromise. And when I tell you, we fought tooth and nail to stay the course, and by God's grace, we managed to get through something that is very dangerous for a lot of people, let alone ministry, public reality. Oh, my God, it can go any kind of direction.
Yeah.
But because of that, God was faithful. He was faithful to us. And we are here.
Faithful is
here.
Our God. Yeah.
He
still
is
here.
And he will be. Oh, my God.
Yes. My goodness. And the members of your church, have they, been able to really acclimate to this as well?
I think they have. Honestly, it was a new thing for everybody. We did not expect for anybody to do anything they were not comfortable with. we engaged them in conversation. We talked a lot about how do you feel about this, this is why, this is, and it was new and it was different and no one knew what to expect. But
yeah.
After 2 years, I think we all understand, we get it, you know, and I think our congregation gets it, and we've been able to keep plowing away.
All right. I love it. I love it. Listen, if you just tuned in, hey there. You're checking out the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and we are chatting up with Lady Maisha Cheney of Preachers of L.A. We are glad to have you guys coming in on the phone lines, those hanging out from Twitter, Facebook, Charvette.com, our broadcast stations. We love you guys. All right. So you are now also a published author. So let's talk about Hiding Behind the Lipstick. Did you always know you would write a book?
I did not. That was not on my bucket list at all. I just have always been that person that says, God, whatever you need me to do, I'm willing. And I mean that in every sense of the word. So when Hiding Behind the Lipstick came, it was started off as a message. Mm. And it has such a profound effect on the people that heard it that I was like, we need to put this in a book so that we can reach more people. I had no idea what being an author meant or how to even write a book. I just had a burning passion to share a message, and this was a vehicle that God used to do it.
Wow. And so tell us in your words kind of the synopsis of the book.
It's Hiding Behind Lipstick is this recalibration for women. We tend to become what everybody needs us to be, and we end up losing ourselves. It's a process that we show through the use of makeup, how we hide the truest essence of our being. Mm-hmm. And it gives us, walks us through how we can come out of hiding and be who we are and love who we are. This generation craves authenticity, and in ministry and in life, we cover the best of who we are. We cover it up. Anything
yeah.
we think that is imperfect, we fix it. Our Instagrams are polished. Everything about us is put together because we, for some reason, aren't comfortable with people seeing our frailty and our weakness. And Hiding Behind the Lipstick says, hey, who are you presenting to the world, and does it match up with who you really are on the inside? It's a total introspective process. And it's, who are you? Let me minister to that broken 5-year-old girl still waiting for her dad to come home, and not the Fortune 500 CEO. You know, the
yeah.
woman on the climb and so successful. It triggers where is this drive coming from? And is it coming from a healthy place? Because it
wow.
will never satisfy you. If it's not, if the origin of it is not from the purest place, it will never satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's far too many people that get to the end of their life, get to the 40s and 50s and say, what have I done with all this time? And really, it was issues that I could have been dealt with years ago. So we do it.
Yeah, yeah. And live a life where, you know, they say, I've been living and acting in this manner, but this was me. This was never me.
Right.
And that,
because
yeah.
we wanted to get married, and so we had
mm-hmm.
to become whoever that guy we met, that fine guy who was the skier, and then we had to start pretending like we ski. And now we're in a relationship, and we have to keep
yeah.
up all these lies because we never built that solid foundation of truth. So it's like, what is your truth, man? And let's get to that truth, because that's what's going to make you happiest.
And why is it so hard to reveal our true selves? It would seem like that would be so easy, but why does that seem to be so hard?
I think as media has a lot to do with it. I think
mm-hmm.
it's just we are – we love ourselves so much so that we don't want to show ourselves the truth.
Mm.
And for some strange reason, we just believe that we are more loved the more put together we are. We think it's a sign
mm-hmm.
of weakness. Oh, I don't cry. My mom said you need to be strong, and you don't show those vulnerabilities, or something our parents taught us. You know, mothers tell their daughters, don't give a man everything. Hold something back. And we believe
right.
that. Even if it was an error, we still practice that because we think it worked for my mom, so it's going to work for me. And one generation misleads the next generation, and it just goes on and on and on. But God will raise up somebody that says, I don't care, take it off. You're beautiful without it. If you want to wear it, fine. But you don't need to be with a man just because you feel like you need a warm body. Like, no. No.
Ooh. Tight, but it's right. Tight, but it's right. Tight, but it's right. And so for those that read this book, Hiding Behind the Lipstick, what do you want them to take away?
That who you are is perfect enough for whatever path God has put before you. That sometimes our scars and our frailty is what gives us this heart of flesh that reaches so many more people. And really, truthfully, I haven't had a big problem. I mean, everywhere I go, every time I share this message, it's the same result because so many people are dying to get out.
Yeah.
They are.
Dying to get out, dying to be themselves, dying to just say, I'm just accepted as I am, nothing else added, nothing taken away, I am enough.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. How can listeners get a hold of the book?
They can go to Amazon.com or they can get it from my website, MyeshaChaney.com.
All right, check it out there. Listeners, check it out. Well, you are also a recording artist, and we got to see some of that come to pass on the show. So tell us about your project and kind of all this. So you got the writing, you've got the, now you move to the music. How did that all come together for you?
Oh, I've been singing forever. Music is like my first love, no doubt.
Okay.
And worship has just taken over my life. But I use music as another tool. I mean, gosh, music is so moving. And to have a positive message to reinforce great thoughts and to connect with God, to be relatable to people through music has been an amazing journey. And I look forward to sharing more and more and more music. Like, so much music you get sick of me. Like, oh, my God, another CD?
Yeah.
But there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And sometimes music can get into the soul in a way that words can't.
So true, so true. And sometimes people will listen to music before they'll listen to anything you say, you know,
yeah.
Or any preacher. You know, the music is what they will gravitate to first. And then, and sometimes it's the beat and the sound, and then they're like, oh, okay, well, the words are – that makes sense, and that speaks to me as well. So I love God. He's creative, and he will use whatever mode he needs to speak to people and to reach people. So, wow. Okay, so tell us about the project, the single, all that good stuff.
Well, we did a CD called Take 'Em to the World, and it was inspired by us feeling like let's take this music to the world. And I Came to Lift Him was the first single off of the CD, and I co-wrote it with Gerald and Tammy Haddon, and Gerald Haddon produced the album. They've been songwriting and producing for so many artists, and it was a great experience. It's on iTunes right now. I wrote four of the songs on the record, and and it was a great learning experience. It was great sharing. It was great in pretty much every way for me.
Wow. Well, I think that's just awesome, Lady Maisha, that you are just using your creativity to reach people in all kinds of ways, and that you didn't just kind of shut down and say, nope, I'm just going to be this, you know, this, use this one gift, and you're open and showing people, hey, use everything God has given you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You said, all right, well, now, last question for you. The goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And we want to know what continues to motivate you.
I think it's really seeing all the women around the world that feel alone, that feel uninspired, that need encouragement. That is the single most thing, I mean, besides the Holy Spirit, that motivates me to go above and beyond every day. Is so that those women.
All right, well said. Nothing else to add to that, listeners. I think you need to put your hands together for Lady Maisha Chaney. Again, it has been just great. Thank you so much for taking the time out to stop by and just chat with us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was great.
You are welcome. You are welcome. And listeners, I have tweeted, I have Facebook, I have Instagram. So those are easy connection points there. You can see flyers. Again, you're going to be in Delaware this Saturday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that. I said that was my last question, but I added another question. If you want to tell us about that event.
I am preparing to go to Delaware to Kingdom Minded Worship Center. To hang out there and talk about what God is doing. I mean, it's going to be a great conference.
All right. So, listeners, again, I retweeted the flyer, and you can follow and find out all the information and anywhere else she may be coming to an area near you. All right, Lady Maisha, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. All right, listeners, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back with our next segment. Yetta Young is going to be joining us. Don't you move. Don't you go anywhere.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Hello, we are 123jobzone.com, an online job search portal. We are user-friendly, and if you're searching for a job, with us, it's easy as 123. Step 1. Go to www.123jobzone.com and register as a job seeker. Step 2. Once registered, upload your resumes. Step 3. Get connected with employers looking for people like you who are ready and willing to work. Don't forget to follow 123jobzone on Twitter and Facebook to find out more about our upcoming job fairs. What are you waiting for? Stop by 123jobzone.com today. Good luck with your job search.
Spiritual Food for Thought. 31 inspirational quotes to jumpstart your day by LaTanya Boyd consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought. 31 inspirational quotes to jumpstart your day. Available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.latiboyd.com.
Industry Buzz with 3Zs.com. Join in today on the movement to bring integrity back to media. With one click of a button, you can disseminate your information right from Industry Buzz to all your favorite social sites like Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, and to your email contact. Maximize your vision today. Plus, get the latest news, entertainment, and media. Need fashion or makeup tips? Looking for a job? Connect with us today. Want to connect with other business visionaries? Connect with us today. This site is for everyone, from teens to music lovers, from businessmen and women, industry professionals, and performers. As a member of Industry Buzz with 3Z, you'll gain help promoting your vision. Industry Buzz with 3Zs will expose, expand, and keep your fan base up to date with all your happening. Members also receive free or discounted perks from various sponsored companies. So join the social network. Expand and stabilize your business. Connect with like-minded individuals. Need an artist to minister at your upcoming event? Look on Industry Buzz. Have a voice and submit your article to our e-magazine. Industry Buzz with 3Zs is the place to globalize your vision. Establish it today. Be heard. It's all on IndustryBuzzWith3Zs.com.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answered no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. Check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.Mitchell-Productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
Virtual book tours is one of the best ways to get your book noticed by potentially thousands of new readers. BAB Virtual Tours staff will walk you through the process of embarking on a virtual tour for your book, business, music, and or ministry, providing simple but yet effective strategies for getting your product and your message in front of thousands. sign up for a free consultation. www.latboyd.com.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
Welcome. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. So excited to have you listening in today. This is your girl, Charvette Mitchell. Thank you for so much for those that are tuning in from all across the world, the wide web, those coming in from Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Charvette.com and our broadcast stations. We appreciate you. Listen, we're moving right on in to our second segment. My guest is hanging out in the virtual green room. I know she's enjoying some virtual snacks. I'm going to be talking to Yetta Young. I'm really excited to have her on the show. We've been connected online, and so this is the first time I'm featuring her on the show. She's an award-winning producer, director. She's a CEO and executive producer of YYP and Associates LLC, which is a production management and consulting firm, and she specializes in producing extraordinary events. She's certainly a highly sought-after producer, and her work has traveled both nationally and internationally, appearing really before millions on Bravo's Real Housewives of Atlanta, Tom Joyner Cruise, National Black Theater Festival, Beverly Hills, NAACP Theater Awards, and in theaters across the country. And she's hanging out here with us today on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. So I'm bringing up to the mic right now our second featured guest, Yetta Young. Hello, Yetta. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Charvette. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Oh, you are welcome. How are you doing today?
I am doing fine. And let me just say, you are doing it, honey, putting some of these blog talk shows, radio shows to shame. You got your voiceovers, your commercials, your musical guests. I see you doing it. Go ahead on. Thank you so much for having me on.
Listen, go big or go home. Go big
go
home.
And you're going big, sis, so you do it.
Thank you. So let's jump right on in. I'd love for you to just share how you started.
But you know what? Can I just say this, Charvette, before you go into asking me any questions? You know how sometimes as an entrepreneur you sign up on various coaches' websites to get their ebook or whatever it is that they're offering, and in exchange they ask for your email address. And so, you know, being a serial entrepreneur, I'm on several lists and I get several emails a day. And I can't go through all of them just for time's sake. But when my Charvette Mitchell emails drop in my box, I'm like, uh-oh, what is Charvette talking about now? And it's something that is applicable. It's always something that either if I'm not doing it already, it's something that I can implement right away. And just thank you. I could be out hiking and I hear that email go off and it said Charvette Mitchell. I'm like, okay, where's Charvette talking about now? Thank you. Your information for me is always right on time. So thank you for that.
You know what? Thank you. That is so good to hear. In particular, because like you said, you're on other lists, so you have some comparison. So thank you for that. I really do try to share information. I have found that if you share information, well, number one, people need information, and sometimes it's something simple, and sometimes it's free, but people just don't know about it.
Exactly.
So we're all in this thing together. So thank you for that. All right, you're welcome. Tell us how you started your company.
Well, it was late 97. I was actually living in D.C., and it was quite selfish the way that it came about. I was in D.C. working for a nonprofit organization, and, you know, like most nonprofits, they could not afford new computers. So being a computer girl, I wanted my own computer, and I thought, hey, I will produce a production of For Colored Girls Who Consider Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough and just raise the money to buy the computer. So we'll have a great call, and then, you know, we'd also raise the money and donate it back to the organization. Well, coincidentally, I was laid off in January of 98, which I actually looked at as a whisper from God and decided to move forward with producing the play, and that's how Yet a Young Productions was born. And so it was a sold-out production. I was still able to donate the money back to the organization that laid me off. And ironically, later that year, they recognized and awarded me as one of their Volunteer of the Year. And so it wasn't until a few years later. I know, isn't that weird? You laid me off. And now I'm the Volunteer of the Year.
Right. Then you honor me. Then you honor me.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, God will push you. When you stand still and you need to go, God will push you out by any means necessary. And for me, it was being laid off, and I was able to move to Los Angeles, and YYP and Associates was rebranded. YYP and Associates LLC was rebranded into a production management and consulting firm. And so now I produce live events like plays and concerts, and just recently I was able to create and produce the Get Elevated Women's Conference, which debuted last year, Mother's Day weekend, in Scottsdale, Arizona. So I was really proud of that. And so that's primarily what I do under the YYP umbrella.
Wow. And so that's a lot. Let me just say that is huge. That is huge. And like literally, I was looking at your Twitter yesterday, and like Sherry Shepherd, formerly of The View, like she tweeted you yesterday. You know, so you know something that she had with you. So I was like, okay, you like this is so, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just your little, you know, little team play on the side, but you are dealing with major people.
Yeah, I have been blessed to work with Sherry Shepherd, one of the most beautiful spirits that I've worked with. But I've also worked with Empire's own Taraji P. Henson. I've worked with Oscar nominee Monique, Yala Van Zandt. It's so funny because a lot of them now have their own shows that's on Jewel Tanker from Thicker Than Water. First Lady Chrisette Ellis, she's on Preachers of Detroit. So I've really been blessed to work with quite a few of them. Yeah.
Wow. And have you found what a common thread working with people on that level that have, you know, have arrived to a certain, what we, the average person would say they have arrived. Any common thread that you see of success, you know, any common traits that you see?
You know what I've found, because I've worked with your A-list celebrities, and I've worked with the D-list celebrities, you know, and the ones in between. And I've found that the A-list celebrities have been easier for me in terms of just working with them. You would think that they would come with a whole list of demands, and I want this and I want that. They have been so cool, so laid back. I've really gotten a lot of the drama from those that's not really even working now. You know, they may have done stuff in the past, you know.
Right,
but
right.
Not really even working now. They come with the biggest list of demands. So it's been really quite interesting, because I've always kind of, you know, geared up for the A-list celebrities. I'm like, okay, I know they're going to bring a lot of demands. But really, I've brought them in for my productions. A lot of my work deals with calls-related type of events, and so they were brought in for an event that I was doing to end violence against women and girls, and they came in, and that was their focus. And so, you don't know who you're going to get when you bring them on and cast them, but what I found is that a lot of the A-list that I've worked with, a lot of people, Yala Van Zandt, for example, we see her on TV, and she looks so serious, you know, and all about, you know, just
fix my life, fix my life.
She
is
hilarious, very laid back, funny, cracking jokes backstage. You know, she doesn't even deal with any of that. It's not, you know, I was thinking she's going to try to fix us. No,
right.
She doesn't deal with any of that. Beautiful,
wow.
Beautiful to work with.
So that's a lesson, those that are, I have a lot of aspiring everything listening to the show. So I think that's a lesson. And I have seen just in my media experience that the higher, elevated, more to do are easier to more on point, responsive, and you know, just chill. And then if I have drama or missed, you know, interviews or a lot of stuff going on, it's usually people that Who is that again? Like, you're not even known. So why are you acting like this, though? I would be curious. Thought it was just me, but thank you for confirming.
No problem.
Okay, so talk a little bit about the key elements that go into producing an extraordinary event. What are some of the elements of things that you have to make sure happen?
Well, I will say the primary key is attention to detail. And Oprah used to say that God is in the details.
Mm-hmm.
I could not agree with her more. When you're producing an event, particularly a play, a conference, you know, where you have several, you know, women coming in from all over the place, or you're traveling. I travel a lot with my productions, and so I'm coordinating travel, hotels, ground transportation, you know, all of that. There is a lot of attention to detail that you have to focus on. So you have to have an eye for logistics, planning, organization, budgeting, because you want to make sure you don't go over your budget, and
right.
just being able to multitask a number of details. And so my goal is to always do that in the spirit of excellence, which is my motto.
Spirit of excellence. And what would you say to the person that's listening saying, well, what's the difference between a production and a management company and an event planner?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I do consider myself a producer, but to be honest with you, because I do see that, you know, you have your event planners and you have your producers. Event planners are producers. I mean, technically, they're producing events. They're having to handle all of the logistics and basically all the things that I just mentioned. So it's pretty similar in that regard. I just prefer the term producer. Because I guess in the world that I live in terms of the plays and all of that stuff, we use the term producer. And an event planner typically does more events versus where I'll do concert, conferences, plays. Usually an event planner, when you think of an event planner, you think of more parties, weddings, things of that nature. Now, I don't even touch weddings. That's just me.
right.
Because that's a whole nother animal. But when you think of event planners, I think people tend to think more in that area, parties, weddings, things of that nature. But they're producers as well.
Okay, good. Thank you. And so I also saw on your website or in your bio that you have a passion for edutainment. So tell us about that. It was an interesting play on words, edutainment. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, edutainment is a hybrid of education and entertainment. So usually if you come into one of my productions, you're going to be edutained. I try to entertain you while weaving in some education, and so it may be something educational. A lot of my plays raise awareness to end violence against women and girls. So you may learn some statistics about that. My new piece also helps to raise awareness for HIV/AIDS, so you may learn something about that. But, you know, they're also highly entertaining as well. So it's a nice mix that you have to work with, because I try not to let people leave feeling heavy, but inspired instead. So they walk away feeling like, wow, I really learned something. But they're going to laugh along the way. They're going to be inspired along the way. And so it's just a mix of education and entertainment.
And that's tricky to do, not to have the audience or whoever the participants not leave heavy. That's
it
a
is.
Tricky piece. Yeah.
That is tricky. It is.
Interesting. Well, I think education has been big and is really getting into a lot of different markets, because now they're saying the term education marketing. And so with multimedia and how, you know, if you're trying to attract customers, educate them first, or in addition to just saying buy my product. So interesting. Okay, so tell us about some of the causes that you support. And I know you just mentioned a few, but any websites or companies or organizations and particular causes that you really want to shout out?
Well, you know what? I'm really passionate about causes that elevate women. And so that can be a number of causes, whether it be helping to raise awareness for, like I said, domestic violence, HIV/AIDS, thing in that realm I'm really passionate about. And then I'm also passionate about the arts as well. So I don't have any particular organizations right now besides my own, that I'm working with through the Butterfly Confessions movement. But there are a number that I support that are doing absolutely wonderful work out there.
Outstanding. All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about Butterfly Confessions. So stage play, book, tell us all about it.
Well, I was on the road for about 8 years. It became an annual event where I did a production of the Vagina Monologue. And the Vagina Monologue was written by a sister, Eve Ensler, who's a Caucasian woman. And what I found when I would go, before I started producing the plays, I would see that there were not a lot of African-American women represented on stage. So here we are. We have a play that's dealing with the vagina, you know, and dealing with issues of raising awareness to end violence against women and girls. And we, you know, are all pretty familiar with some of the statistics in our community as far as domestic violence and just violence overall is concerned. And so for me, I wanted to produce it in a way where we could have more women of color coming out to hear this information. And so I was able to do that. And so, you know, I mentioned earlier, I cast Monique and Iyanla Vance and some of those other wonderful ladies. And then I said, you know what? I really want to do a piece that tells it from our story. So even though now we have these African-American actresses telling the story, it still was not really from our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how Butterfly Confessions was born. You know, in our culture, don't air your dirty laundry.
Right, right.
Well, in Butterfly Confessions, we are airing it all. We're dealing with issues of violence against women and girls. We're dealing with molestation. We're dealing with why sisters don't do therapy, gossip, orgasms, condom usage. So we're just pulling the curtain back, and we're talking about it all.
Wow. And so who are some of the wonderful souls that contributed monologues for the Butterfly Confessions?
Well, thank you so much for asking about the contributors, because they are a huge part of the Butterfly Confessions movement. And I am not a writer. And see, this was all contrived because as a producer, like even when I was listening to First Lady Maisha, I said, that hiding behind the lipstick needs to be a play.
connect.
Yes, that's my gift. I'm able to see things and to be able to put it in a way that is presentable on stage. And so that's how Butterfly Confessions came about in terms of the contributor. So I graduated from Fisk University and back in 91, but we're still a close-knit group. So I reached out to my sorority sister, Teresa Gordon, some of my Fisk brothers. We have some men who are also contributors, Brian Rockmore, Kevin Spencer, and Terrence Dean. All wrote fabulous pieces. I attended Fisk University with them. But we also have Anna Maria Horsford, who was from the movie Friday and the TV show Amen. She was actually cast in the show, but as she was reading it, you know, in her funny and loving way, she pulled me to the side and she said, hey, if you change this, add that and remove that, I think it would be much stronger. And she was right, and so she was able to help me to really tighten up the opening. And she's one of the, now we talk about drama-free, she is one of the most drama-free actresses that I've worked with, just a beautiful person to work with. But some of the other wonderful contributors, Ray Lewis Thornton, many people may know of her, she's a prominent HIV/AIDS activist, and she was actually the first to grace the cover of Essence magazine as a positive, you know, as a woman who was positive with AIDS.
Oh, wow.
But we have Brenda Perriman, who wrote a great piece on molestation, very moving. Everybody leaves the theater in tears. That's one of our moving pieces. Toy Trotman did a great piece. She's the one who wrote Sisters Don't Do Therapy. Elizabeth Fletcher wrote a wonderful piece called Digmatized. And that term was coined by Jill Scott. In an interview she did a few years ago in Us magazine. And Paula Hawkins, Jasmine Powers, and Yori Berry are also contributors as well. So,
wow. And so how can listeners get a hold of the book?
At the website, which is www.butterflyconfessions.com.
All right, and it's a beautiful, gorgeous website, I must add.
Oh, thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That's an honor coming from you, because I know you are the website designer queen, and I have to have you to do one of my websites for sure.
Oh, I'd love to. But yeah, shout out there on that. It's beautiful, just beautiful pictures and everything. And
thank
so
you.
You're welcome. Is it available? Are you doing stage plays with this, or is it right now just the book is available?
So what's happening with the Butterfly Confessions, I'm trying to let it spread its wings and fly on its own. So we have a couple of things which we're doing with Butterfly Confessions. One is we're allowing colleges and communities and theaters to produce it themselves. And so what they would do is license the play. And it's very empowering for them to do that. So we just had some students at Ohio Wesleyan University last month. So they produced it, directed it, cast it, everything on their own, and did a wonderful production. And so we're allowing communities, colleges, and theaters the opportunity to do that. But if they want me to bring in one of my celebrity productions, I do that as well. And so it just depends on what the budget is, what the demographic and audience is. So, for example, on World AIDS Day in December, Kentucky State University brought me in as keynote speaker, and then I cast a few women locally, and then I brought them on stage with me, and we did some excerpts from Butterfly Confession. So there's a number of ways in which we can make it work and have fun with it. It just depends on what their cause is, what they're trying to relate to their demographic or audience. So we can make it happen.
Make it happen. I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you just tuned in, welcome. You're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the World Wide Web. We're in our second featured interview here. I'm excited. Yetta Young is hanging out with me, award-winning producer, director. We're just chatting it up about Butterfly Confessions. While they're listening and people are still coming in on the phone lines and everything, how can they connect with you on social media?
So on social media, I don't know how you do it. You're everywhere. Google you, and I mean, you're on everything. But I took some advice from somebody who said just pick your top three, and you can't do them all. And so on Facebook, you can find me. I have both a personal page, that's Yetta Young. It's full, but they can follow me there. And I also have a public profile page, Yetta Young, producer, director, author. And then I'm also on Twitter and Instagram at Yetta Young 7. And Pinterest and YouTube, Yetta Young as well.
Perfect. And I have tagged on Facebook both the personal and the business page, so you can connect there. Also Instagram. Hey, Instagram listeners. My Instagram listenership has been moving up. And Twitter. So easy connection points there. Easy connection points there. All right.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So what other things are you working on these days?
Well, as I mentioned before about producing events and the budget, producing events are very expensive. So what I'm doing now, this year, I'm dedicating this year to partnering with women or individuals who need additional income to manifest their dreams. And so at times we can't always find sponsors who are going to come on board. I mentioned the Get Elevated Women's Conference. My partner and I produce that ourselves out of our own bank account. And so it can get a little expensive. And so this year for me is working on building my income, partnering with others who want to build, bring in additional income as well to manifest their dreams. And so that's what I'm doing now. So if anybody out there wants to find out how to do that, please reach out to me as well.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. We all want more cash flow. So that
exactly.
My hand is raised. My hand is raised in the virtual studio. All right, so the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and we want to know what continues to motivate you.
Well, you know, if you had asked me this question 4 years ago, my answer would have been completely different. God blessed me with the opportunity to have a child after being infertile for basically my entire life. I thought that, you know, I would, you know, not experience motherhood. But at the beautiful age of 42, God saw fit that I become a mom. And so doing the work that will be a part of the legacy I leave to my daughter is what continues to inspire me. I really want to be the type of woman that she wants, that she would want to emulate and model.
Wow. Now, you know who you need to connect with. You need to connect with Bishop T.D. Jakes' daughter, Cora Jakes Coleman. She has a blog. She is experiencing infertility, and she is getting ready to write a book about it, and she has a blog about it. Faithing It is her kind of her niche, but could definitely, and I had her on the show not too long ago. So, listeners, you all, if you listen, great. If not, you can go to charvette.com, and it's one of the featured interviews. But that, I think, would be a really great connection.
I'll go back and listen, too, because I know you have them on demand. So I'll go back and listen to that interview, and then I will definitely.
Yeah, what a testament. I mean, that's a testament of God's grace. See, he can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it. He does not consult us. For timing. He does not consult us. He does what he wants to do, and he does all things well. All things well. Well, awesome, awesome. All right, so one more time, tell our listeners your main website, how they can connect with you all on the World Wide Web.
Okay. So my website, butterflyconfessions.com, on Facebook. My business page is Yetta Young, producer, director, author. I also have a personal page under my name, Yetta Young. And then Twitter, Instagram, at Yetta Young 7. And then I'm on YouTube. You can just plug in my name. Some of my videos and things will come up. And the same thing with Pinterest.
All right, fabulous. So great connection points. Again, you can go to Amazon also and get the book or get it from the main website.
On Amazon, you can download the Kindle version.
Ah, there you go. So I know some listeners
at the website.
Ask,
some people prefer Kindle. So you can do that at Amazon. But if you want an actual autographed copy, just go to the website, and I'll autograph it and pop it in the mail to you.
Fabulous. Well, it has been great just chatting with you, Yetta. I mean, we always email because, like you said, the email list. But it's been great chatting with you and just getting to learn. I didn't know all of the scope of what you did and had done. And so it was great just to share you with our listeners.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and continue to be an inspiration, because I don't know, I was speaking with a girlfriend of mine today, and she said, well, how did you find out about Charvette? I said, honey, I don't know, but I'm glad I did. So,
oh, thank you. Thank you to your girlfriend. Thank you.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you. All right. That's going to be a wrap today, listeners. Oh, my goodness. Awesome. Both segments. Listen, you need to share the show with a friend. Just tell them to jump over to charvette.com, and they will be able to listen and be inspired, because the goal of my show is to motivate, to influence, to excite, to inspire, all of that. Listen, we have some great interviews coming up. We have Bishop Jason Nelson, recording artist, coming up, a special segment with him. He's going to be in the city, and so we're going to be chatting with him within many more segments coming up. So connect with me, charvette.com, easy. You can also download my mobile app. If you listen from a phone, you can download my free mobile app. We are on iTunes. We're on iPads, iPhones, Blackberries, Androids, any of them. You can go to the App Store. Just put in Charvette, and you can have the free download of the app, and it's really easy to listen to the show that way. Of course, connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette, twitter.com/Charvette, Instagram is Charvette M. So until next week, we'll talk to you guys later. Adios, amigos. Bye.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, signing off.